You want your water then?
No. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 33, verse 12. I was instructed a year or so ago to do this before we do any praying, but today, church, today, December 6th, is going to be one of the most awesome days in the United States history ever.
Yeah.
I know December 7th tomorrow is a day that's lived in infamy. We know that, when the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. We understand that. We'll never forget that. Nor will we ever forget what happened to the towers in 2001. We'll never forget that stuff. But this day, today, December 6th, the year of our Lord, 2017, is an earth-changing, earth-shaking day. You can't overstate it. I don't know what other adjectives to use. But this is one awesome
yes.
day.
Amen.
Psalm 33, verse 12, we should be able to quote it. It says, blessed and happy, fortunate to be envied is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his heritage. And you've heard me say this so many times. I believe that the United States has been set aside for a purpose from its inception. Okay, from how we have sided with Israel, from our inception, how they were the first to send finances for the Revolutionary War to help us when we were broke as a country. And that we were the first to send our Marines to defend Israel, the shores of Tripoli,
right.
Okay? This is not an accident that the short time that we've been a nation, the prosperity and the things that we've enjoyed. Now, are we a perfect nation? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are a nation of laws, and there are men that are trying to uphold these laws, but we make mistakes, yes. But if you look around the world, what we managed to do in less than 200 years, 240 years or so, since our Constitution was instated. Now, there was a whole lot of history before that also, okay? What we've been able to accomplish, I believe, is because we have honored God and because we've sided with Israel every
Amen.
Step of the way.
Amen.
And today, if you don't know, is a powerful day that took place in Washington, D.C., as our president announced that we were now going to recognize Israel as the capital of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's. I was jumping up and down my pizza shop. It was quarter after one or so when this took place. And the folks that work with me must have thought I was crazy. And I was trying to explain to the young lady. I said, "This you don't understand. This is as big as it gets. It doesn't get any bigger unless Jesus cracks the sky and comes back. It's just awesome." So the message I had for this evening it's called Falling Chains, but I use note cards. The Holy Spirit made a change, and I had to write some stuff out because there's just too much information to remember. You're in Psalms. Go to Psalm 122, please. And you have to be excited about this day. As a believer, you have to be. This is things that have to happen before the end times, as we usher in the end times. So we're going to go to Psalm 122. If you have your Bible with you, if not, if you have your electronics with you, that's just as good. It's all God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
Start reading with verse 1. Listen to this now. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You should be that happy every time the doors are open here.
Amen.
And if you're not saying to somebody, hey, come on, go to church with me, and be excited about it, like, well, I have to go to church. You want to come along? No. No, that's what it says here. It says, I'm reading the Amplified Bible. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is built as a city that is compacted together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. And was decreed and as a testimony for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there, the thrones of judgment were set, and the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, the holy city. Now, listen. What took place today is sending shockwaves around the world, and I don't know if you're paying attention. Now, you've got some people in what they call the Arab Street. The Palestinians are calling for the days of rage now, starting in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
That was decreed. When this announcement was first rumored it was going to take place, they started calling for the days of rage. So here's what we have to do, church, as a church. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If you're not doing that on a daily basis, start doing that. Start doing that. Because nothing's going to happen until it happens in Israel.
Right.
It happens in Jerusalem. It's not just the hub of the world. I believe it's the hub of the universe. I really do. I've said this a million times. And to have something like this take place in our lifetime. You know, the presidents that preceded all these all the years have never done this. Some have said, well, we're going to move our embassy. But they've never, ever done it until today. Dean, would you say another campaign promise kept?
Yeah.
And there were some rabbis that were on TV that were just absolutely rejoicing. And there were other people saying, this is going to be the end of the Middle East. There you go.
There
yeah, I mean, and then they say the seas would roar, the nations would, you know, uprise, yeah. And that's what's good. Here we go. Here we go, church. You're living in the last of the last days. It's coming at you. Can you discern the sign of the times?
Come on.
It was on national TV today, one of the signs. That's a big sign.
That's right.
You know, I've missed God many times. That sign's too big to
That's
miss.
Right.
So I was absolutely rejoicing. We may never, ever get to what I had, the message that I planned about being in chains. But what I want to do right now is I want to read you a little bit about the history of Jerusalem and what you think you know, what you may know, what you may not know. Jerusalem is impressive, to say the least. Okay? So here's the notes that I took. From the Dake Study Bible, and it's just, I'm going to do the best I can to read my own handwriting because it's atrocious, and I was writing pretty fast. But Joshua chapter 10, now you don't have to go there. We'll read some scriptures here in a little bit. But Joshua chapter 10 is the first time that Jerusalem is mentioned in Scripture as Jerusalem. Okay, that's the first time the word is actually used in Joshua chapter 10. Okay? Some of the names for the city of Jerusalem. Are you ready? Some of these you know. City of Peace. Which, when you think about that, that's pretty funny. Well, it's not funny. It's pretty ironic. Think about the irony of how much blood has been shed in and around Jerusalem over the centuries. Rivers of blood. Constant battles, sieges, and everything that you can imagine has taken place in and around Jerusalem. It's the city of peace. It's the foundation of peace. Now, if you read, and I didn't write down all the scriptures, but I lay in Zion a cornerstone, the foundation stone. That's what this is talking about right now. This is where we are right now. This is where we are. It's the city of righteousness. It's also known as the holy city. It is also known as the city of David. Okay? Originally called Jebus, J-E-B-U-S, this was the old name of Jerusalem, J-E-R-U-S. That's the name of the city, the original name of the city before it was named Jerusalem. David captured the city from the Jebusites and made it the capital of Israel. That's according, now if you read, you can read that in 2 Samuel verses 5, chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. 2 Samuel Chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. I'm not going to hurry this. This is that important. Okay? But David made it the capital of Israel. And it remained the capital when the kingdom was first united. Okay? It was called the United Kingdom. And this took place at about 1000 BC. Okay? And then the kingdom was divided after 1000 BC. Jerusalem then continued to be the capital of Judah because it was divided into the different tribes until about 616 BC when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city.
Yep.
Jerusalem has been destroyed a bunch of times. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
About shaking right down to this very foundation, right? It became the capital of Israel again at about 546 BC and remained so until the nation and the city were both destroyed by the Roman Empire in about 70 AD. How's that for the first 1,070 years of history of Jerusalem? A lot of sieges in between there. Too many to go over. I mean, The city was constantly under siege. In fact, Jerusalem has undergone 38 sieges from the time of Joshua up until right now. That's a lot of turmoil in the city of peace. Now, for us to be moving, now, here's the reason why we've got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because they're calling for all this violence now. And I don't, other than prayers, okay, and the Holy Spirit intervening, I don't see how a whole lot of violence is not going to take place. Because now you've got people talking about, well, you know, it can be a two-nation, it can be that the two nations can live together, Israel and Palestine. And every president has tried that. Every world leader has tried that. Now, here's the problem. It is not on Israel's end, first of all.
That's right.
Okay? The Palestinian people will not be happy, will not be satisfied until Israel is destroyed. Right. Graveyard dead, pushed into the sea.
That's right.
That's their objective. Mm-hmm. You can't buy them, you can't appease them, you can't reason with them. There's just, and they may sit at the table and give you that stupid nod, like, okay, we're going to agree to this. They will never agree to this. Mm-hmm. They hate Israel. Now, if you know anything about the Palestinian people, if you know the history is a long history, but they were a bunch of nomadic people traveling through the desert that the other Arab nations hired to kill Israel. Mm-hmm. And they said, if you do that, we'll give you that land, because the other Arab nations didn't, you know, they knew about God. And they saw some of the things that took place in the nations that came against Israel. Okay? If you just do, this was the nomadic tribe. They never, ever owned any portion of Israel. Ever. When God took Abraham up on the mountain and said, look that way. Oh, look that way, and look this way, and look back over this way. That is all yours. As far as you can see, it belongs to you. That's the original owner who owned the property, who just deeded it to Abraham. And his children's seed. They never ever occupied it. When they crossed the River Jordan, it was all theirs. Iraq, Iran, parts of Turkey. It all belongs to Israel. Not the little sliver of land that's approximately about the distance from here to Erie.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine that little sliver of land has been the centerpiece of controversy, war, siege, and everything that you can imagine. For centuries, for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And now, here we are, the modern age, with all our electronics and all our vast knowledge, is now witnessing the President of the United States recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and is moving our city and is moving our embassy to that location.
Amen.
And people said, it's going to take days. It's going to take years to do that. No, it's not. It's not going to take years to do that. You have to be impressed. Let's talk about Jerusalem's future a little bit. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 1, the word which Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw or was revealed concerning Judah. Okay, everybody knows who Judah is, right? The tribe of Judah. You know Judah? That's where the Lord comes from, right? And Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be firmly established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. It says all nations are going to flow to this. Something else about Jerusalem's future. Not only is it where Jesus is going to return, it's also going to be the place where the Antichrist sets up.
That's right.
Think about
that's
that.
Right.
He'll be standing at the abomination that causes desolation, standing where it ought not to stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the temple.
That's right.
Man, are we living in we're living in some awesome times, George? You got to get excited about it, because we're going to watch all this. We're not going to the things that are going to come aren't going to come on us.
Amen.
And many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and instructions, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Not from Rome, not from Pittsburgh or Los Angeles, not from New York City, not from Beijing, not from any other, Tokyo.
That's right.
Any Russian city you want? All the cities. Think about that. Where's it going to come from? It's coming from Jerusalem, church. I don't know if you've ever met anybody that hates Israel, hates the Jewish people. I'm talking about hate them. It's like venom coming out of their mouth. They hate Israel. And I don't understand it. And, you know what my relationship has been with the Jewish people. You know, now I was a Gentile before I was saved. I was just a Gentile. But I was accepted by the Jewish people in Swirl Hill just in big ways. And I always, before I was saved, I always knew there was something there. Yep. And I actually stood in awe of those people, not because of the business sense, but I knew their relationship with God, and I knew that. But then once I've been saved now, and I look back at some of the relationships I had, I know more about the Jewish religion than they do, or the Jewish belief than they do. Seriously. There are not a whole lot of Jewish people that are practicing Judaism. They're just not. They aren't. But my relationship goes back to the early 70s. I had a lady wanted to sponsor me to turn Jewish. She wanted me to become, in the Jewish faith and everything. And just you've heard me tell the story that this lady was Estelle Braver. She had diamonds on her diamonds, and she had an 8-carat pear-shaped diamond she wore that would just, and all the diamonds on her hands. And, I worked hard in her stores and everything, and she took a liking to me. She said, if you ever meet a young lady and want to get married, you come see me, and I'll set you up with a diamond merchant. So I met Eleanor, and I went to her one day. I said, Estelle, I met a young lady, and I want to marry her. I love her with all my heart. She said, that's great. Here's what I want you. And she sent me down to see, and you've heard the story, the Jewish guy that had the little hole-in-the-wall place, and I walked out of there because I thought, this guy, what's he know, right? And I'm walking into Clark Building. He said, yeah, go pay somebody else's rent. Go look around if you don't like this place. And what I didn't see when I walked in there was the little safe that was behind it was full of diamonds, right? And he pulled door after door after door after door after door. And I said, what do you want? I said, marquee cut. And he said, okay, set me down, put a glass thing in my eye. I said, here's this one's got a flaw. He said, one of these three is probably what you want. So I got that. So Eleanor got her diamond ring. And then when I picked the diamond ring up, Estelle Braver actually paid for the setting and our wedding bands as a wedding gift.
Praise God.
So that's how the Jewish people, when they like you huge.
Yeah.
This is long before I'm saved. This is 1975. We got married in 76. So I'm not saved yet. I'm a little ways away from being saved.
Yeah.
The Jewish people, it's just amazing. Now, are there some stiff-necked Jews? Absolutely. God talks about it. So I reached out my hand constantly to gainsaying people, stiff-necked people, and they refused. But Jerusalem's the future. It's our future as believers. It's the world's future. Either you're going to be standing on the right side of it or the wrong side of it. Now, it says that all the nations are going to turn against Israel. And I keep praying that Israel's a friend and ally to the United States, and the United States is a friend and ally to Israel. Because I really, and there are people that have spiritualized, well, we're spiritual Israel. Well, in a lot of ways, we're not spiritual Israel. Today's just a tremendous day. I said, while we're on tape, why don't we just pray for Jerusalem right now and for the entire nation of Israel.
Amen.
Father,
hallelujah.
We stand before you.
Thank you.
We stand in awe of you, Lord, knowing that you talked about the end times in your word. You showed us all the things that were going to come. You told us about the signs to look for. And now, Father, they're starting to happen at just what we consider an incredibly fast rate. The things that we did today, we as the United States of America, by acknowledging and establishing Jerusalem as the capital once more of Israel, Father, we believe is just as appointed by you. This man you have in office that has done this has been appointed by you. Now, Father, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know what could possibly happen now. So here's the things we want to pray for. We want to pray, first of all, for peace in Jerusalem, the holy city. We don't want to see any kind of violence take place there.
Hallelujah.
Father, if the Holy Spirit intervenes, sir, if you would, and just calm the hearts and minds of all the people that are involved there, we believe there'll be no loss of life in anybody in Israel. whether than the military or civilian people, no loss of life. Continue to bless Benjamin Netanyahu. Holy Spirit, be upon him, sir. Let nothing be hidden from his eyes and all the people give him counsel. Whatever plots or plans that are about to be hatched against them, reveal them that can stop before it gets started. There'll be no loss of life in Israel from this decision, Father. We're so excited. Hallelujah. We say that Israel is a friend and ally to the United States. The United States is a friend and ally to Israel. And that's not going to change.
Hallelujah.
That is not going to change. Now, Father, our president, we pray for him as you told us to do in your word. He's made this decision. Now, we know the enemy is not happy with this at all. So we just ask for divine protection for our president, President Trump, his family, all the cabinet members, the vice president, his family, all the people who give him counsel, everybody that's around him now. We pray that no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. Any tongue will rise against them in judgment. Will be condemned by you. Continue to strengthen him, Lord. Uphold him with your right hand and deliver him from the people that are absolutely trying to destroy him right now. We believe he acknowledges you. This is what we're seeing. We believe he acknowledges you. And we just thank you that you will continue to order his steps and that he will hear accurately from the Spirit of God. And the decisions that he makes will line up with your word and keep the United States strong and free and the cradle of the gospel for the entire world. None of this is an accident. None of this is a coincidence. We acknowledge you, your hand in all this right now, Father. And we thank you. And we love the nation of Israel and ask you to continue to bless them as the apple of your eye. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think I covered most of it.
Yep.
I think I covered most of it. This was all written down rapidly this afternoon. But if I can, I don't even know where we started, what time or anything, so I don't want to take a whole lot of time. We're going to start this. God laid this message on my heart. If you would go to the book of Acts. A-C-T-A-S, not Acts, A-X. Like I want to ax you. No. Acts. I don't know how much time you spend reading the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. I love all the books in the Bible. I love the book of Acts because it's the church. It's the beginning of it's people like us.
Right?
Right? You know, it wasn't all just disciples and Jesus doing all the miracles. This is the beginning of church, just everyday people like us. We're going to start reading in chapter 12. You know, this time of the year, the title of this message again is Falling Chains. This time of the year is a joyous time of the year for many people and not so much for other people. We have to know that the rate of suicide is high now. There's a lot of unpleasantness, a lot of despair, I guess, and misery, because it's just the world system. It's just what's doing to people. Now, and we just can't be, when you see somebody now, and you don't have to be like you're floating around spiritually discerning. You can see on people's faces that they're going through something. And we all have our little church faces we put on, we come here, but you can see, you meet people, you know they're going through something, right? And they may not believe the way you believe, and they may not look like the way you look, and they may not dress like the way you look, and they may not smell the way you smell, but they're going through something. And they're God's children. And we, as children of the light, are supposed to be attuned to that. And if you spend some time with God and got the Holy Spirit minister to you, you'll be able to see. He'll show you that stuff. It doesn't mean not in deep dark secrets or anything like that. No, but just this person's hurting. Hey, I could see something's wrong. What's wrong? I didn't have entrance eyes. I saw a lady today that I haven't seen in years. She had a son that had some mental and physical challenges. And she used to come in the store pretty regularly, and I haven't seen her and I run into her at the bank, and I said, hi, Barb, how are you? And it was like, hi. And man, you could just see. And her son wasn't with her. And I couldn't, there wasn't, and you know when there's no entrance there.
Yeah.
She just kind of looked down, like, and I wanted to say, geez, what did I do? But it was obviously wasn't me. So I'm hoping I'm going to see her again, and maybe have some entrance to talk to her. But you could just, it just radiated from her. There's a big problem. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to start reading verse 1. We're not going to run all over the Bible. We're probably not going to have the time this evening. But this is what God showed me. I don't know how you read your Bible. You're not supposed to read your Bible. You're supposed to study your Bible. Okay? That's what the Word of God says, to study your Bible, show yourself approved. Not how many chapters you can read in one night. Not if you can read through the Bible in a year. You can read through the Bible in a year. There's a whole plan to do that. and not get anything out of it. Nothing. But if you take your time and when I'm reading through the Bible, if I start in Matthew chapter 1 verse, I'll read that chapter maybe for a week over and over and over again before I go to chapter 2. And then I do the same until God gives me the release. And I always ask him, show me something that I haven't seen before. So what I've gotten out of this Acts chapter 12 is what God showed me, and I hope it can help you. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit has here. It says, about that time, Herod, the king. Who's the king?
Herod.
Let's remember Herod's name here. Okay? Representative authority. Okay? Not a very good man, by the way. Not being judgmental as far as he's not a good man. I'm judging his works and the fruit. About that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to afflict and oppress and torment some who belonged to the church assembly. Again, I'm reading in the Amplified Bible. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now, a couple things about that. James is one of the sons of Zebedee. One of his two sons. Do you remember who that is? That's the one mom took John by the hand, his brother, came to Jesus, knelt down and said, Jesus, what can I do for you? He said, you know what I want you to do? He said, when you go into your kingdom, this one to sit on your left hand, this one to sit on your right hand. Is that okay? I want my sons to sit one in your left hand and one at your right hand. And he just looked at her. And he says to the boys, can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink out of right now? And they said, yeah, Lord, yay. Yeah. He said, you know, Jesus said, indeed, you're going to drink of this cup. He was talking about John's death. He was killed by the sword, which is a particularly humiliating way to die back in those days. So there he is, drinking of the cup. Now let's watch Herod here. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it was pleasing to the Jews, are you serious? Are you kidding me? The Jews rejoiced over this? You know, Proverbs is real clear about that. It says, when your enemy falls or stumbles or something happens, don't rejoice, because God might see that and turn his wrath on you.
Right.
That's pretty clear. You can't rejoice over something that goes... If you're going to rejoice for somebody when something good happens to them, blessings or whatever, okay. But man, if that boss has been miserable to you and something happens to him and you're jumping up and down, you got to check your heart. Brothers and sisters, you've got to check your heart. I'm that's not a rebuke in any way, but you know, you get. It's easy to fall into that. That's a trap. That's a stinking chain, by the way. Okay. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread and the Passover week. Now I'll start flipping through my little cards. Verse 4, and when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers. Do you know this is the third time Peter's been arrested and put in prison? The third time. Three times. You been persecuted by the government officials for your stand yet? Have you? No, but the church as a whole has been, from taking down nativity scenes, from taking down the Ten Commandments, from not allowing you to say the word God in school, unless you happen to be swearing and
Christmas. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, and you know, we understand Christmas is, you know, we understand that, but we know what Christmas is about,
right?
It's not the material things and all that stuff, it's a celebration, right? Anyway, I did have a Jewish person tell me years ago, how can you celebrate Christmas, what's wrong with you? So what do you mean, man? This is that they, you know, Christ was born. I said, I know that. He said, but that's when he died on the cross and opened heaven up for you guys. Isn't that what you should be? Shouldn't that be the big day? Think about that.
Yeah, how about that?
Shouldn't that be the big day?
Yeah.
You know how we give presents at Christmas time and everything? You know, Bobby's been teaching on Revelations. He's going to get to the point, to the part about the two witnesses. And they just stand and preach, and they just, fire's coming out of them, and they're just convictions going everywhere on people. And they, when they stoned them to death, they said that it was such a great day when they killed those two that they gave gifts to each other. Just like, it was just like Christmas. People exchanged gifts because they were celebrating because the three witnesses, the two witnesses were dead, and they laid in the street for 3 days. I mean, and the whole world saw them laying in the street for 3 days. How'd they see that? Here's how they saw it. There's a satellite. Now you can be anywhere in the world. And you can get it on TV from anywhere in the world. And the pastor used to say, how's that guy on top of the Himalayas going to hear about the word of God? Anywhere in the world. And it said for 3 days, they laid in the streets and people rejoiced and gave gifts and celebrated. And then they stood up.
Yeah, that's right.
Then the two witnesses stood up. I want to see CNN cover that. I really do. Put everybody in shock. Stood up on their feet, alive. Yeah, that's going to be that coverage is going to be good. The rapture is going to be good too. We're just finding shoes and cell phones laying everywhere, and people are gone. That's going to exactly right.
Hallelujah.
When they had seized Peter and put him in prison, and delivered him unto four squads of soldiers—that's 16 soldiers—for each to guard him, purposing after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. And what that means is they were going to bring him forth to kill him, just like they killed James. They were going to kill him. And the Jewish people couldn't wait for it. It really gives you something to think about, doesn't it? So Peter was kept in prison. And occasionally people prayed for him.
No.
Huh? What's this say? No, it doesn't say it. Does it really say that? I'm reading the Amplified. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent prayer for him was persistently made to God by the individuals. No, by the church assembly. Not a rebuke. Say, this is not a rebuke.
Not a rebuke.
I don't understand why this room isn't filled with prayer warriors on Wednesday evening before service, on Sunday morning before service, because we have a prayer list that's very, very long. We see tremendous results from it. And I don't understand, and you have to judge your heart. Nobody can make you pray. You have to want to do this. But listen, these were fervent prayer. Okay, let's talk about this. 1 Timothy, hold your place. We're going to come back to Acts. First Timothy, we'll go to chapter 2. Here we go. Verse 1. First of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on the behalf of the people we like. On the folks that are in prison. No, I can't mean all men, can it, Dean? You mean Herod? You mean Herod? No, come on. Herod's killing. He's killing people. He's killing Christians? Real Herod? Thanksgiving they offered on behalf of all men for kings. I guess there's Herod. He was the king. And all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we, as the body of Christ, may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. Now that's a good enough reason right there for me. If praying like that is pleasing and acceptable, don't be worried. Well, I think I'm just repeating myself. I think it's repetition. If you're doing something earnestly from your heart, it's not repetition. It's an earnest. There's a story, and I didn't write there's a proverb about the person that kept coming to the king and kept ignoring and kept annoying him and annoying him with her petitions. She wanted justice. She wanted the king, and the king was so sick of hearing her, he finally granted her petition. We can do that. I hope Bobby didn't fall off that chair. He's fallen enough this week. Okay. See that? That's, yeah, somebody should have yelled. This is good and acceptable, God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. And then, you know, you almost can't stop there because it says, for there's only one, there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not any other statues that you've ever prayed for in your past life by turning them upside down or whatever you did, crazy religious things you used to do. And I'm sorry, that's just, there's one mediator.
That's right.
You know, and I'm not slamming anybody else's religious beliefs, but there's one mediator. What? You can't pray to Peter. You can't pray to Paul. You can't. You just... You cannot pray to Mary. And you cannot dismiss what Mary did in any way either. As a young woman, as a teenager, pregnant, not married, under the law, is stoned to death.
That's right.
That's as clear as it gets.
Right.
And she said, "Behold the servant or handmaiden of the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, referred to Jesus, "My God and my Savior."
Right.
She needed a Savior. She was in the upper room and prayed in the tongues.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? There's a lot of things you can tell your friends that want to talk about that. Not elevated to any kind of deity. Just that's not, you know, I saw that on a grand display in St. Anne de Beaupré's church up in Quebec City, Queen City, when Ellen and I went a trip to go up there. We went to that place. You want to see an amazing cathedral church. You can't stand in front of it with a camera and get the whole, even the wide angle lens, you can't get the whole. It's so high you can't see the top of it. When you walk in the church, there are rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of pews, and there you cannot see the front of the church, and there are TVs on each so you can see what's happening up front. You cannot see the front of that church. It is gigantic in every aspect. On one side, the statue of Mary, and an entire area dedicated just to her. It's huge. I said, "Who's the lady on the other side?" It's Saint Anne de Beaupré, Mary's mom. Another gigantic display there. And yeah, you know, it just took me back. But you know what's in the basement church? There are rooms the size of this room filled with wheelchairs, crutches, canes, and any other device that people had to use to get around. People that were actually completely healed there at St. Anne de Beaupré's. Documented by the doctors. All written on the wall by doctors, not just they said so, she said so, verified. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But there's one mediator who gave himself as a ransom for all people, a fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. Go to James chapter 5. I have no idea where we are time-wise. I was so excited about the Jerusalem thing. It's just, man. What did I say? James chapter 5? Did I say that? I thought I heard somebody say that. It was me. I'm never sure if I'm just hearing it in my head or if everybody can hear it. No, not the voices. Oh. James chapter 5. Let's go down to verse 16. Let's see if I can find it here on this. Uh-oh. That might be Jesus calling. That might be
Jesus calling.
It's all right. I have a song for that you're going to hear in a little while. You think I'm kidding? Where's Teresa? I've been commanded to do this. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another. If you're not doing that, church, start doing that, please. Pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone, to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of righteous men and women makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elijah was a human being just like us, with a nature such as we have, with feelings and affections and the constitution like ours, just like us. Just, he was a man and a woman just like us. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, earnestly, I might add, and the heavens supplied the rain, and the land produced crops as usual. See, when we're together here and praying, and we're, you know, we're not even, we're going to have to pick this up because I can't go into the next part of this. When prayers are being made for people, that's making so much power available. It's dynamic and dynamite in power, kind of power. It's just powerful stuff. All I can do is pray. That's all you can do? That is what you should do. That's everything. It's everything. We will get to what is happening to Peter. So this is his third, and we'll pick us up after that. This is his third time being arrested. Not only is he arrested now, but he's gotten out twice. And the people know this. Not going to happen again. 16 guys are going to be guarding you, buddy, and we're putting a chain on each side of you. Yeah. Now do something. Well, watch this, as the Holy Spirit said. Watch this. As an angel of the Lord appears in his cell. And there's some great things that happen after that. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out what they are.
Amen.
All right, church, that's it for this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you for your attention. Continue to fervently pray for Israel, because I think you're going to see some turmoil here. I'm not prophesying it. I'm not speaking it into existence. But